It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
What's going on, everyone? Another season with you this year with the hockey podcast from 90.9 The Light. Actually, a new name this year. It's called the Gong Show Hockey Podcast, coming to you from campus of Liberty University. I'm Johnny Fabrazzo, and joining me is, as usual, Andrew Beamer. Except he's, as you can hear, he's not in studio with me, calling in live from, I believe, Aurora, Ontario, Canada.
That is correct, sir. That's correct.
How you doing, bud?
Aurora, Ontario, Canada. I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I'm loving the fact that hockey's back and we get to talk some more hockey.
So Really well. Best time of the year. Hockey, football starting. I know that's more of an American thing, but Good time of the year.
Oh, it sure is.
So, this is Friday, so yesterday, Thursday, we had three games. The big one that everyone's really talking about was Team North America, the U23 team, going up against Team Europe. Andrew, did you watch that game?
I absolutely watched every minute of that fast-paced, entertaining game. I can't tell you what an unbelievable game it was, and it's pre-tournament, which is just so surprising to me.
I know.
It was unbelievably fast-paced and just fun to watch.
One team was fast, I'll give you that. I mean,
yeah.
Team North America, they look pretty good, which is really a shock to some people. What do you think about that?
You know what? The whole story about Team North America being the underdog team in this tournament, I never kind of agreed with that. I always thought, you know what? They've got guys like McDavid, Eichel, Matthews, and then they've got guys that are already established, like McKinnon, like Couturier, guys that have been in the league for a few years, guys that have put up points. So I'm going, yeah, they're a young team. They might look like the underdog team to some people, but they've still got experience, and they've got Stanley Cup winners on the team. Take a look at their starting goalie last night, Murray. I mean, he just won a cup in a dominant fashion in the postseason last year, in a very dominant fashion, and he won with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So there's still experience on this under-23 squad, but they're still young, and they're still, I'm not completely optimistic, but there's still mistakes that are probably going to be made, but you know what? That was an incredible first game, and no better way to start the tournament for them than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there was any doubt of this team going into the tournament, I think they erased it last night because they proved that they can be a dominant team. I mean,
granted,
it's Team Europe, and that's really a team that going in, nobody really expected anything from. They're the oldest team in the tournament by far, sort of like a mishmash of different countries.
Eight different countries,
but I'm telling you, Team North America last night, they proved that using that speed, I mean, that's the game right now, that's the NHL, is speed.
That's what
you want, and when you have a full team of that, that's something that's scary.
And in a side note, recognizing the NHL speed, it's very refreshing to have an international tournament held by the NHL and the NHLPA. I love having linesmen and referees from the NHL ref these games and officiate these games. And then also the ice surface. I love international ice surfaces because it's bigger, but I also just love a standard size rink, such as the NHL teams play on. So very good to have an NHL organized event. I love it. It's only happened two times before. First time the U.S. won, and that was in, I believe, 1996. And then 8 years later, Canada won, and that was in 2004. And now we're 12 years later, 2016, and we've got the third tournament, and it's going to be happening every 4 years. So it's unbelievable.
Hopefully every 4 years. And when you think about this, if they do this again in 4 years, Connor McDavid is only 19 right now. He would still be eligible for that U23 team. Same thing with Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel. A lot of these players that are first and second-year players will still be on this U23 team going into the next tournament, and that's when they're really going to be entering the prime of their careers, which, I mean, that's scary to think about.
It's crazy how talented this team could be in the next few years, and the next 4 years when the tournament's held again in 2020. So it's so fast-paced, and the young guns they just proved that last night, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with teams like Canada, with teams like the States, with all the dominant teams in the tournament. They're going to be right up there all along with them. So so it's there's so much to look forward to in this tournament. There really is.
And then moving into tonight, we got a big rivalry match, USA versus Canada. That's really the match that everyone's looking forward to in every international tournament going back to the Olympics. Canada's obviously won the past too. What are you looking forward to tonight in this game? Because this, you know, there's a lot of storylines moving into it. You got Carey Price making his first start. You got, you know, just the rivalry of going back to Canada. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, here's, I'll say a few things on this. The first thing is, and the biggest thing, and you touched on it, is Carey Price starting tonight for the first time since, I believe, mid-November. So that's fantastic. He's 100% healthy. He's said it time and time again. He's ready. He's coming back. This is his debut, if you want to call it. So just the fact that Carey Price is playing. Now, I hate the Montreal Canadiens as the, from a fan's perspective, but I love the goalie because he is arguably the best goalie in the world. So just the perspective that he's starting tonight is going to be fun to watch. And then you just have the old school USA-Canada rivalry. Nothing better than that. And one of the guys we play hockey with, Robert Warner, and I made a bet today. And the bet's basically this. Whoever loses, so if Canada loses, I have to buy an American flag and sing their national anthem. So your national anthem. And the opposite happens if Canada wins. So I've got a lot riding on this game. I don't want the flag up in my room where I'm going to have a Canadian flag too. That'll just look bad for me. So
you're going to get this on video too?
Oh yeah. We'll film this, whoever loses. So, but no, you know what? Tonight's game is going to be, I believe, two of the best teams in the tournament. And they're going to be head on, and it's going to be fast paced. It's going to be fun to watch. And I really think it's going to be a brutal game. Just watching the North American-Europe game yesterday and then seeing highlights of the other two games, these guys are hitting hard. They're throwing punches. They're out there to win, and it's pre-tournament. So that just makes me wonder, like, what's going to happen when September 17th rolls around and the tournament actually legitimately begins? Like, it must get better from here. I mean, it's already fantastic, but...
I don't know if you happened to watch the Sweden versus Finland game yesterday, but I mean, it was getting chippy. And listen, I know a lot of writers and, you know, people who've been analyzing this tournament have said, oh, it's a gimmick with these fake teams. They're not actually countries. Players aren't going to take this seriously. It's just basically their training camp. These guys are competitors. I mean, they're going to go hard. They want to play. They want to win. I mean, that's the business. You want to win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know what? Even though, so let's just take Team Europe, for example. So they're comprised of eight different countries spanning across Europe. Germany is just one example of a country. But they're playing for not only national pride in their own nation, but they're also playing because they're competitors, because they love the sport. And that's why it's going to be such a fun game to watch, such a fun tournament to watch. It really will be.
Yeah, I mean, even going down to the lowest level, when you're an athlete and you're playing the sport that you love, you want to win, no matter, you know, what the stage is. And this is arguably one of the highest stages, maybe behind the Olympics. But playing for your country, I mean, that's probably the highest honor you can have in this sport. They're going to want to win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely agree with that 100%.
So, well, obviously World Cup tonight. I think the game between USA and Canada starts at 8 tonight.
I thought it started at 6:30. I could be wrong though. Let's find out though.
I didn't get an exact time, but moving into the actual NHL regular season, Toronto Maple Leafs, your team, obviously getting the first overall pick with Austin Matthews. Obviously, there's a lot of things to be excited for, but what are you most excited for the Maple Leafs moving into the season?
You know what? This is a possibility, I'm going to call it, at most right now. But the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing playing most this season, if at all he plays this season, is Mitchell Marner, who we drafted fourth overall in 2015. And I'll tell you two things. First off, he's not eligible to play for the Toronto Marlies for the AHL affiliate team because of his age, because he's only 19. So his options are play another year with the London Knights in the OHL, the Ontario Hockey League, or come up to the big show and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the NHL, the National Hockey League. So I really think he's got a shot after training camp at making the squad, and I'd love to see him play this year. He is one of the most talented prospects in all of the NHL right now, and I'm trying not to be biased because Toronto is my team and I love him to death. But he really looks and plays like a guy like Patrick Kane. So seeing him step on the ice wearing the blue and white, that'll be huge for me. Obviously, the big number one talked about guy is Austin Matthews. I have no doubts that he'll make the team this year. The only concern I have is that I know management, especially Brendan Shanahan, pushes this a lot, is to have the guys, you know, cool off for a bit, have a year in the AHL, have a year in the affiliate team, and really develop there. So it'll be an exciting year for the Leafs, but there's lots to watch for.
I mean, I think Mitch Marner is past the junior level right now. I mean, I'm looking at his stats. 2 years ago, 126 points in 63 games. Last year, 116 points in 57 games. I mean, honestly, what does this guy have to prove? What does he have to do down in juniors? All these guys that he's going up against, I think he's way too good for them to be playing with them. He's not going to develop down there.
No, I don't see any point in him being down with the London Knights for another year. And I think the main concern with him is his size. But you have guys that are in the league, and I'm going to use three good examples here. Martin St. Louis, Matt Zuccarello, and Johnny Gaudreau. Three guys, undersized, really powerful, really good skaters, and great stick handlers. And St. Louis had a long career in the NHL. Zuccarello's making a name for himself. And Johnny Gaudreau put up 76 points last year. And he's a tiny guy. I think he might be one of the smallest of the three of them. So Marner's up in that category with him, and he's a little taller than some of those guys, but he's not as bulky. But still, he's got a name to prove. So it'll be exciting to watch that unfold this season.
And obviously, with your goalie situation, you got Freddie Anderson now. That really cements down that position. Do you think that?
Hopefully.
You haven't had much success with trading for goalies in the past few years, but do you think that the Maple Leafs could potentially make a run at a playoff spot this year?
You know what? I've had a few people ask me that so far, and I'm going to say no. I don't think we have a chance at making the playoffs this year, and I'm trying not to be narcissistic about it. My optimism for this year is that we would land from 10th from the bottom, something like that. I definitely don't want to have another year where we bottom out and we're the 30th finishing team. I'd like to see some success than we've seen in past years. But you know what? I'm going to leave it to the bigger clubs right now. I just don't think we have enough depth to get us to the playoffs. So I think so. In the next few years, we'll be contenders, but that's still a few years off and a lot of hockey to be played in between.
The pieces are there, though, definitely.
The pieces are there. The cornerstone pieces are there, and we've had them there for a while. And the number one guy that's been there for a while, that's been a cornerstone player for us and will prove to be one, currently plays for North America right now, and Morgan Riley. Wonderful defenseman, and he'll continue to be a wonderful defenseman and only develop and get better over years. So the pieces are there, and they just need to be fit together, and that'll just take some time, I think. But the pieces are there. So,
playing alongside Aaron Ekblad on the top defensive pairing for Team North America.
Oh yeah, and that was a good pairing last night too. That was fun to watch.
Oh yeah, that game was great. I mean, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but that team performance last night, I think, shocked basically everyone who was watching, because there was a lot of doubts going into that game.
You know what? That was, out of the three games yesterday, that was the one I was most intrigued in watching. And not only because I was working during the day and I couldn't watch the other two games, but because they weren't countries that were playing. They weren't like Canada or US that was playing, or Sweden or whatever you want to call it. It was one country comprised of eight teams and another country comprised of two different – or, sorry, a country comprised of two different teams or countries. I'm getting all my words mixed up. So it was – these are the two teams that had the most doubt coming into the tournament. But for – one of them had to shock the hockey world last night, and we found out who did shock the hockey world, and that was North America. And I don't think that was a coincidence, and I don't think that's the last time in this tournament we'll be shocked by them. I think there's plenty of more opportunity for them to come out and come out on top.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, if they do happen to win their group, who they would play in the semifinals, and if they happen to make it to the finals. But I know it's getting ahead. I just want to see how they play once the actual tournament starts, because these games are all just like preseason games, basically, for the tournament. They don't count at all.
Just exhibition,
So, moving around the rest of the NHL, what was one off-season storyline that you really paid attention to and are looking forward to seeing this regular season?
Well, you know what? It's a fateful day in the hockey world, I'm going to say, when Shea Weber was traded to the Montreal Canadiens for PK Subban. And I believe it was the same day where Adam Larson from your team, from the New Jersey Devils, went to the Edmonton Oilers in exchange for Taylor Hall. So that day was just unbelievable. Huge trades, huge names going across the table. And I'll talk about both of them real briefly. Starting with the Shea Weber and PK Subban trade, I think both clubs needed a mix up here. I think it was a smart move from Nashville's perspective to get a younger star-studded defenseman in PK Subban and kind of change captaincy. And I like who they named captain. I like Fisher as captain. I think that sounds good. So that's great for Nashville. For Montreal to get Shea Weber, who's already an established defenseman who could shoot the puck at 108 miles per hour, is really good for them. I don't know if he'll be as good as his contract says he'll be for the next foreseeable future, as long as he's signed. But for the next 4 to 5 years, I still think he could be a threat in the hockey in the National Hockey League. As for the Taylor Hall and Adam Larson deal,
I'm smiling right now. I'm smiling right now, just thinking about you talking about this.
You're smiling about the Shea Weber and PK.
Adam Larson Taylor Hall trade. I've been smiling since that day.
About that. You should be, and every New Jersey Devils fan in the world should be, the most excited people, because you just got an incredible 80-point-plus hockey player for a good defenseman. Don't get me wrong. Adam Larson's a good defenseman, but he's not in Taylor Hall's category at all. And he might get there someday. But right now, he's not there, and Taylor Hall is still young. Like, he is still pounding. So that deal, I think, is heavily weighted for the New Jersey Devils. They lost a great defenseman that could be, and I'm going to stress that word could, because we haven't seen it yet, and Edmonton lost a player that already is. So, holy crap, that trade blew me away. I could not believe they did it just 1v1, no package deals, nothing. It was just one person going to one team for another guy going to the other team. And it just blew me away. I mean, what did you think of that deal?
My uncle's a Rangers fan. And every time I've seen him since that day, the first thing, before I even say hi to him, I say, Taylor Hall's a Devil now. So, That's my feelings on it. Listen, from Edmonton's perspective, when they realized that Jesse Puljujarvi in the draft was going to fall to them, I mean, they were expecting him to go third. When they saw him go down to four and they were able to pick him up, that, I think, cemented in their minds that one of their offensive pieces wouldn't have to go. Because that, I mean, you're adding so much offense and you're not fixing the defense.
Listen, and you know what? I will say that to their defense. I mean, they started their team a few years ago with just top-tier number one guys on the offense, and their defense just bottomed out. So, I mean, to get a guy that could potentially be an elite defenseman in the NHL someday, is a good move for them. But like in right now, time's sake, I think New Jersey won that deal hands down.
And yeah, listen, Adam Larson, I believe, could become a top pairing defenseman in this league, especially going to Edmonton,
sure,
where they really don't have anyone. He'll immediately go into their top defensive pairing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He's not in Adam, for sure. He's not in Taylor Hall's league right now, obviously. From watching him for the past few years, I can tell you that from when Pete DeBoer was coaching the Devils, he almost ruined Adam Larson's career from the way he handled him, sending him up and down, benching him. You can't do that with a young player. It just kills their confidence. The past, I would say, year and a half, really, since we got John Hines, completely different player playing alongside Andy Green. Completely different player. And
yeah,
for that, I will say Edmonton, I don't think they got stiffed in this trade. Obviously, I think the Devils won it, and I'm happy that they made this trade because we needed offense. But Adam Larson is not basically a guy who's just going to go in and fill a spot. He's going to become a good player in this league.
He will, but in time, I think. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to come into the league. Well, he's been in the league for, what, 2 years now?
No, he's 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Oh,
yeah.
So longer than I thought. So,
yeah.
So just more to my point is that he will establish himself, but he's not going to establish himself in 4 or 5 years, as we're clearly seeing. He'll take 6 or 7 or even 9. I mean, he's a good defenseman. All the pieces are there. He's just got to put them together, essentially.
Yeah,
so
he was drafted 4th overall in 2011.
2011, okay.
Yeah, so
yeah,
this is going to be his 5th season.
Yeah.
And also that Elliot Friedman I don't know if you read this, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet wrote a great post about that day. It was basically 23 minutes apart that Adam Larson-Taylor Hall trade happened. Then the P.K. Subban-Shea Weber trade happened. And then Steven Stamkos re-signed with the Lightning, which basically killed...
Oh, that happened that day, too, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just throw that in there, that the most sought-after free agent in 5 years happened to re-sign with his team and completely kill free agency.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of free agency, there's still a number of good players out there aren't signed yet. Throwing one name out there who I think is probably one of the better ones, Chris Russell. Still unsigned. He's 29, willing to give up his body. I believe he's second in NHL last season with 210 block shots. He only played 62 games. And number one in average block shots per game is 3.4. So he's hands down a shutdown defenseman and a great defenseman at that. So not an elite defenseman, but a top two pairing defenseman, sure, absolutely.
This is
so
the thing.
There's still a number of big names that haven't been signed yet that are on the unrestricted free agent list.
Yeah, I mean, I think that teams, when they're looking at their team, they have to think about the pieces that they have in place already. And I think that starting now, teams really are, you know, as training camps are starting, they're really going to be just focusing on the team that they have now. And they're not going to want to really add any new pieces at this point. So, and I also think that Chris Russell was asking for too much money. He made
he might be.
He made 2.35 last year, but I think he wanted upwards of like 4 this season.
He was asking around like 4.5 or something like that, which is pretty high for him.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you could get to a team that's actually desperate for a top two pairing defenseman and look at a guy like Chris Russell, and they might get a little greedy and go, you know what, 4.5 sounds good to me. And that just might take until the beginning of the season to see that for somebody. I think he'll get picked up, but it's just a matter of who and when.
Yeah. Also, another thing that happened this offseason, Jamie Vesey signing with the Rangers.
Who was that? Sorry, I missed the name.
Jimmy Vesey.
Vesey.
Is it Vesey or Vesey? I heard Vesey.
I think it's Vesey.
Okay,
I've heard both, but I go with Vesey.
Say Jimmy V. How about that?
Jimmy V. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that
signing
one,
with the Rangers.
That was a tough blow for me because wasn't he even in the New Jersey odds?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't
there was
there
a few
chance,
teams.
Yeah, there was a chance he could go to New Jersey too, as well as Toronto, Buffalo. Nashville was out the door once he Well, yeah, once he signed with Buffalo before he made the actual signing with New York. But, man, we lost out, both of our teams, on him. He's going to be an unbelievable player in the league.
See, I am of a different mindset. I don't think he's going to be any more than a top nine player.
Top nine? Mm-hmm. Really?
I could see him being stuck on third line. I mean, look at the
college. See that for him. I think he's got the skill set to get into where he needs to go.
In college, as a senior, his points weren't even that good.
But you don't have to look at points as the determining factor in whether or not a player is good, in my opinion. Because you take a guy like Jonathan Toews, who I would arguably say is in the top three players of the league right now, and he doesn't score more than 65 points a season.
Yeah, but Jonathan Toews doesn't play that game. Jimmy Vesey considers himself a skilled player. He's 6'0", 6 foot 195. That's it. He's not like
You might have a point like that. Yeah.
I mean, that's the game that he really likes to play.
He fits in with, yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he fits in on their roster.
Yeah,
they've got a mesh of guys. So
the Rangers are in shambles right now. From all the moves that they made, from going after the veterans. They're a team that missed their chance at the Cup. You know, they made it 2 or 3 years ago.
They should have had it. They should have had it. Oh,
they didn't take advantage of their opportunity. And now they're starting to lose, you know, their veteran guys, and they're trying to reload. But I think that, I don't know, I don't see the Rangers even making playoffs this year.
You know what? It sucks because New York's a team I really am stalemated on. I don't care if they win or lose, but I want them. I do want them to win a cup for Lundqvist, just for him. That's literally the only reason why I would put 2 cents into the Rangers, is because Lundqvist was on their team, and I think more than anybody, other than maybe Joe Thornton, he deserves a cup. So, they did miss their chance, and they're on a downward spiral now, and Lundqvist is missing his shot too. So I think it's time for him to pack his bags and get out of New York. But I have no idea where he'd go. That's the problem.
I agree with you that I would be completely fine with Henrik Lundqvist winning a cup. I just don't want him to do it on the Rangers.
No, I'm kind of lost on the Rangers now because they just blew their opportunity, and then I'm just a little jealous that they signed Vesey. You might not be as much jealous as I am, but I'm jealous they signed Vesey. I was hoping for Jimmy V, as we'll call him. But you know what? They got their guy that they were looking for, and good for them. So.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably behind Steven Stamkos was the most talked about free agent going into this year because, you know, of all of his history with turning down the Nashville Predators who drafted him and opting to go into free agency after his senior year of college. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yep.
The verdict's still out on him. We don't know what he's going to do in the NHL. But
we don't even know if he's going to play this season. I mean, there's still a chance he might get put into the affiliate team.
So, yeah, exactly.
I don't think he signed with New York expecting to be put on the team or expecting to be put on the affiliate team. I think part of it was, hey, like we'll sign you, but we're gonna play you as well. So I do think we'll see Vesey or Jimmy V on the ice this year for the New York Rangers.
I think their fans are expecting that. I think they really thought when they signed him that he would make an immediate impact. He's 23 years old already.
Yeah, I think the only team that might not have played him right away, and this might have been a determining factor in why he didn't sign with them, and I'm not being biased, is Toronto. I really don't think they would have played him right away if they got him.
You guys have so many.
That's strictly on we have so many young guns, and we're trying not to make the same mistake that Edmonton made about, let's say, 7 years ago, when they started stockpiling on young guys. So we're keeping a close eye out for that, for sure.
The Shanna plan seems to be working. I think that's what you guys call it, right?
Working.
Up there, the Shanna plan?
Yeah, I call it the Shanna plan for sure. I think it's working. It's going to take till I'm telling you, 2019 comes around, we'll be cup contenders. You watch it.
I could believe it. I think maybe not this year. I think you guys will be a lot better this year than last year.
I do too.
With all your pieces.
I have no doubts that we'll end probably, I'm hoping somewhere around 10th from the bottom, so 20th overall in the league. And that would be such a boost from ending 30th overall last year. Now, if you had to ask me, do I think we needed to end 30th overall last year and get the number one draft pick? I would say absolutely, because we got a top number one center. And he's got size and he's got skill. And that's something we haven't had since Matt Sundin left. So I'm not like upset about where we finished in the standings last year, as much as I'm thrilled about what's ahead. So lots to look forward to.
I'm going to throw out a bold prediction here. I think we should do a bold prediction segment before we end the show, but my bold one of mine is going to be that the Maple Leafs will make the playoffs this year.
You really think so, eh?
I don't. It's bold prediction for a reason, but if they do, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? If they make the playoffs this year, that just shows how good of our system, like how well our system is working.
I know. And listen, your pieces are there. What was it about Edmonton that's held them back all these years in rebuilding? What have they not gotten? Defense and goaltending. And you guys
defense,
have that.
Yes.
You guys have that.
I really think Anderson's a 60-game player. Or goalie, whatever you want to call him. I hope he is, and I hope this injury, I know they said 3 to 4 weeks, which means that he'll likely be able to start the season. I also know Lou Lamoriello, our general manager, said Frederik Andersen is our starting goalie. We signed Jonas Enroth, a great signing for a backup goalie, great veteran goalie, so like awesome deal for us. I really do think Freddie Andersen is going to be a top-tier goalie in the league, and goalies usually kind of pop out of the seams around 28, 29, something like that. So what's his age? That's when I can't remember.
26.
I think he's 26. So he's still got a few years until his prime hits him, which is great that we got him before his prime because we didn't have to give up a whole lot. I mean, we gave up a first round pick in Jonathan Bernier for probably our number one starting goalie for the next 6, 7, 8 years to come. I mean, that's a pretty good deal in my book.
And that was the thing. The Ducks get, you know, a first-round pick, which obviously is always nice. You get your starting goalie.
A 30th overall pick, let's remember, too. Not just like a 15th pick or something like that. And, 30th overall.
And you get your starting goalie. And you get Jonathan Bernier's contract off your books.
Which is unbelievable in the fact that we've gotten Jonathan Bernier's, Dion Phaneuf, Phil Kessel. The only guy remaining on my list of bad contracts is Joffrey Lupul, and I don't have a clue when he's going.
Don't talk bad. Don't you dare talk bad about Phil Kessel.
No. I respect Phil Kessel more than anybody in the league right now because of what he did after he won the Cup, and he had his day with the Cup, and he brought it back to Toronto. But when he was in Toronto, I did not like him. Now that he's out of Toronto for some reason, I actually enjoy watching him play, and I think he's gotten better as a player. So I'm not dissing Phil Kessel. Trust me that.
I guess that's what happens when you play with guys like Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, they just make you better players. He was back-checking this league for the second half of the season. I never saw him do that once in Toronto.
So. Yeah. So, one last thing, news today about the game that's going to be going on in a little while. Jonathan Quick is going to probably get the start tonight for Team USA over Ben Bishop and Corey Schneider. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good move. I think Jonathan Quick is maybe, in my opinion, the second best goalie in the league right now, only behind Carey Price. And I would say Pecorine is in that mix as well. But then you've got guys like Ben Bishop who's in the top 10, I would say. And who's the third goalie on Team USA?
Schneider. Corey Schneider.
Corey Schneider is and don't get me wrong here when I say this, an unbelievable goaltender. And he will be an unbelievable goaltender for years to come. He is going to be, and I think I would even classify him as an elite goaltender now.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's that young too, which for a Devils fan is just unbelievable to look at. I mean, he's 30 years old, so he's just at his prime. So he's still got a number of years to be a top-tier goaltender in the National Hockey League. But for argument's sake, in Team USA starting Quick, I think Quick will quickly, obviously this sounds ironic because Quick and Quickly, but he will quickly become their starting goaltender for the tournament, and that they know Canada's probably, I would say, and I'm not being biased here, but is the best team coming into the tournament talent-wise, and they wanted to start the tournament, even though it's pre-tournament, the best way they can, and that's with the W. So start your best goalie, and I think that's what they're doing tonight.
Yeah, and going back to Corey Schneider, I think he is the best goalie on Team USA's roster right now. I mean, looking at his stats from 3 years ago when he came to the Devils, 1.97 goals against average in 45 games, 2.26 goals against average in 69 games, and last year he had a ridiculous 2.15 goals against average. I think that was third or fourth best in the league. I mean, Jonathan Quick, I think he's a good goalie, obviously. He had a great run in the playoffs a few years ago against the Devils and the Rangers. Two great runs, led that team. But right now, I don't think he's better than Corey Schneider. And I would even say Ben Bishop. I mean, you see what he's doing with the Lightning out there? I think that I think Corey Schneider is the best goalie on Team USA right now, followed by Ben Bishop and then Jonathan Quick. There's not a lot. There's not a lot that separates them. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think Quick and then Schneider and then Bishop. That's my opinion on US. But I haven't. You know what? I'm not. You probably are more knowledgeable about goalies than I am. But just from quick observation, that's what I gather about USA.
Yeah. I really think that Quick is only getting the start because of his reputation.
And that could be true. I mean, he did have he's had a number of good runs with LA over the years. So,
do you happen to know how many games there are of pre-tournament games for each team?
There's three games for each team. And believe it or not, I think Team North America and Team Europe play against each other again in Montreal, I think tomorrow night.
Okay, so maybe what they're doing is just giving every guy a chance to start.
Basically. So, like, for example, Team Europe, who sat healthy scratch last night, Dylan Larkin, we might get to see him in replace of, let's say, JT Miller on their next game, which I think I'd prefer to see Dylan Larkin play than JT Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Not saying Miller's a bad player, but I just think Larkin's got more skill, more speed, whatever you want to call it.
I think he won the fastest skater competition last year.
Oh, yeah. He broke Mike Gardner's record that's been set for 25-plus years. I mean, I know Mike Gardner personally.
Really?
Worked at his arena.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And he's Mike Gardner's a great guy, first and foremost, but he's also, you got to remember, the 30th overall for points in the National Hockey League history, meaning he was an unbelievable player, and he will remain to be one of the best players that's ever played the game. So to break a record like that is just insane, and especially at his age, too. I mean, Dylan Larkin was 18 when he broke the record, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I'd love to see Larkin playing. I'd love to see him on the third line, wherever JT Miller was. I'd take Miller right out of there and start Larkin.
Yeah,
I'm not Todd McClellan, so I can't.
That's what they're doing. I mean, I don't think Henrik Lundqvist started for Sweden yesterday, so, and obviously he's going to be the starter. So
yeah, I think that was just a test to see their backup goalie, just see how he performed. So.
Yeah, so maybe that's what Team USA is doing. But I mean, I don't know. Against Team Canada, you're going to try to want to make a statement. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see why Quick is starting. He's a good goalie. He's on the team for a reason, but I think Schneider should have gotten the start.
And is that biased opinion? Because you're
no,
just from looking
at stats, I truly believe that Schneider's the best goalie, followed by Bishop, closely, very close. And then I think that if the Devils had offense last year and made the playoffs, Schneider would have won the Vezina.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? He did have a fabulous season last year.
And I'm trying to think about it from an unbiased point, but just the stats are telling me that Schneider is the better goalie. So,
well, fair enough.
All right. Before we go, do you have any bold predictions for the season this year?
For the NHL season,
or the World Cup, either or.
I'll give two bold predictions. Bold prediction number one: I do not think Canada will win the World Cup. I will not mention who I think will win the World Cup, but I am voting against my country purely on the basis just to make a bold prediction, not based on fact or anything like that. All hypothetical. And B, bold prediction for the NHL 2016-2017 season is that the Pittsburgh Penguins win the Cup back-to-back.
Wow.
That's my bold prediction.
That's very bold.
Yes.
Who do you think starts for them this year in goal?
Scary bold prediction. What's that?
Who do you think starts for them in goal this year?
You know what? My dad just asked me this last night. I think Fleury's on the back door. He's on the plane leaving, and I think it's Murray's time to take over. So I don't know if they're going to start Murray, but I definitely don't think that Fleury's going to be seeing 50, 60 games this season.
You think it?
I think the young guys got a shot at being their number one goalie, and I think by the end of the season we'll see that happen.
Do you think it could come down to how Murray plays in these World Cup games? Because he's North America's starter.
I think it'll be a factor. I think the Pittsburgh management and coaching staff will look at how he plays in the World Cup and how he's dominated. I mean, he had a 4-0 shutout last night. So I think it'll be definitely a factor in whether or not he plays a lot this year. But I really do think that Fleury's injury just provided Murray, and I'm getting mixed up, Fleury, it provided Murray with a chance to show what he's got talent-wise, and he proved every little bit of it in the postseason last year. So
absolutely.
Bold prediction is Pens defend the Cup, and Murray might be the starting goalie by the end of the year.
There you go. And for me,
there it is.
I'm going to go with, Maple Leafs making the playoffs this year. I
like that one.
I know you like that one. And I'm going to say that Vladimir Tarasenko will lead the league in scoring this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
a fun prediction.
I know it's very specific, but I think that's what's going to happen. Vladimir Tarasenko had a goal last night. Absolute rocket of a shot.
Oh, my gosh.
From the circle.
On that shot.
I know.
Remarkable.
Anytime he just gets it in that area, he's just going to roof it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Sure. He's a special player, and I think he's entering his prime right now. So that's why I think he'll be able to lead the league in scoring.
I like that prediction a lot. That's a good one.
So.
That is a good one.
And I think that's it. We'll let you go, Andrew.
Alrighty.
Thanks for joining us.
Well,
and
for sure.
Be on the lookout for a website that's going to be coming from us. We're currently working on it. We'll be posting these episodes, and we'll start doing some writing stuff, and it'll be a good way for listeners to get in contact with us and just, you know, join the conversation with us. So be on the lookout for that, and we'll let you go, Andrew, and thanks for listening, everyone.
All right, great talking to you. Have a good day, everybody.
See you guys.
See ya.